Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you. Welcome to our visitors. We're happy that you can be with us today and hope your time here is a blessing to you. It certainly is to us. And as Jerry also mentioned a moment ago, we're just so thrilled to see Dahlia again. Dahlia, it's just so good to see you. Dear lady, you are a walking, living miracle. And it's been a while since we've seen you. Probably over a year now, hasn't it?
Thank you, Father God.
Yeah. So welcome back. So good to see you.
Thank you.
I've entitled this message, 10 Characteristics of a Healthy Church Body. But before we get into those 10 characteristics, I'd like to begin by reading a verse to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 35. John 13, verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us a part of the family of God and establishing in this local body of believers. And as we all walk together in faith and love and in the common bond of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll continue to draw us all ever closer together to each other and to you. May you use this imperfect vessel to speak living words of love, peace, unity, and harmony into the lives of your people today.
Amen.
And we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Many years ago, in the early days of the church, there was a Roman man who attended a church meeting for the very first time. Now, this man had never even heard of Jesus. He knew nothing about the Christian faith, but he had heard about this new group of people called Christians, and he wanted to see what it was all about. So he went to the meeting, and he observed, and he listened, and after the meeting, he left. Later, one of his friends came up to him and asked him, "What did you think of the meeting?" And all the man said was, "Behold how they love one another." This Roman, who had never before heard the name of Jesus, came away with one thing. He didn't come away talking about how pretty the building was, how good the music was, or how dynamic the preaching was. The thing that made the biggest impression on this Roman man, the thing that stuck with him the most, was the love that the Christian brothers and sisters had for each other.
Yes. Amen.
And it makes you wonder, when first-time visitors leave our church, what do they say about us? I hope they come away saying, "Behold how they love one another."
Amen.
Amen.
When you think about it, it's pretty amazing that God has called into this place such a diverse group of people. After all, we all come from very different backgrounds. We all have very different personalities. We've all had very different life experiences. If it weren't for our common faith in Jesus and our common bond in the Holy Spirit, we probably wouldn't even know each other. But it's that common bond of faith and the Holy Spirit that have brought us together. But just because God has put us together, it doesn't mean that we're instantly and automatically unified with one heart, one mind, and one purpose. As with all relationships, relationships in the church take time, effort, and commitment to grow and to mature so that we can become the people of love and God, the people of love and unity that God wants us to be.
Amen.
God wants us to be bound together and to operate as a family. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters. The word brother and sister appear over 400 times in the New Testament. Think about that. Over 400 times. we're referred to as brothers and sisters in the New Testament. This is God's way of reminding us that we have a bond that is stronger than just sharing some mutual interest. It's a blood bond. My biological brothers and sisters are related to me by the shared blood of our parents, but you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, are related to me by the shared blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we partake of communion and we all drink that juice together, it represents the blood of Jesus that we all share, the blood that binds us together. The name communion reminds us of our responsibility to love one another and to be unified for the Lord's sake in spite of our differences.
Yeah.
Now, you know as well as I do that biological siblings are often very different from one another. But they are still bound together by blood.
That's right.
Because of that common blood, they will always be siblings. And as they grow up, they have to learn to work, play, and live together in spite of their differences. Unfortunately, however, sometimes you will hear of siblings who have become estranged from each other and haven't seen each other or had a relationship in years because of some offense or hurt that took place in that family and has never healed. The same thing happens in churches when there are splits and divisions and schisms and broken fellowship. We hear about them all the time. That's why there are over 45,000 Christian denominations in the world. Because people aren't unified in heart and mind and spirit. But Jesus doesn't want that happening in his church. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose.
Amen.
That's God's desire for his church.
Amen.
And for his people.
Amen.
People leave churches for many different reasons. Now, don't get me wrong, there are lots of legitimate reasons for leaving a church and going to a different one. Jobs change, family situations change. Sometimes the Lord may call us to minister in a different place. But leaving a church because it's not perfect, and leaving a church because the people in it aren't perfect, that's not a legitimate reason for leaving a church. There's no such thing as a perfect church. And if you do ever happen to find a perfect church, don't go there. You'll ruin it. God doesn't place us where we are because it's perfect.
That's right.
He places us where we are because that is the place that gives us opportunities to practice unconditional love the way Jesus practiced it.
Amen.
God will often place us in a church with people who test our love, test our patience, and test our ability to forgive. And if we leave a church the first time someone says something we don't like, or we leave a church the first time someone doesn't do something exactly the way we would have done it, or if we leave a church the first time the preacher walks past us without shaking our hand, then we are depriving ourselves of the opportunity to grow spiritually and to practice unconditional and selfless love the way Jesus practiced it.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Wherever God puts us, he expects us to love the people in that body in the same way that he loves them. To help us do this, in his word, he describes 10 characteristics that he expects every believer to put into practice so that we can grow together into the church body that God desires. These characteristics are found in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. These verses provide us with biblical principles for becoming a healthy, loving, spirit-led church body. They teach us how to avoid strife and contention and conflict, and they teach us how to bring healing and restoration in situations where hurts and offenses have already occurred. So I'd like to go now through each of these six verses in detail, beginning with verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, and this is out of the New Living Translation. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you're taking notes, the first characteristic of a healthy church body is that we clothe ourselves with the qualities of Christ. And Paul lists them here. Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, I'm not going to go into each of these qualities individually today. However, I will say that all five of these qualities have something in common. They help us to be sensitive to what other people are going through. Everyone has problems and struggles from time to time, and very often the people that come through these doors are hurting, and they are struggling over some situation that's going on in their lives. And most of the time, they won't tell you. If you ask someone how they're doing, what will they tell you 90% of the time? I'm fine. I do it too. But if you've clothed yourself with the Christ-like qualities that this verse talks about, and if your heart is sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to those around you, you can spiritually discern that they're not doing all right. They're hurting, and it's all they can do to keep it together and to keep from crying. They need love and encouragement and an encounter with God. Be sensitive when you discern that people are struggling, especially during praise and worship, when they may be desperately trying to seek God's face and His love, and they need some time at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
Praise and worship is a time for people to kneel at the altar of God, and I'm sure that none of us would want to be the distraction that keeps a hurting person from receiving God's love and comfort. Verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. No one is perfect. Can we all agree on that? We all have flaws and faults. So the second characteristic, if you're taking notes, the second characteristic of a healthy church body is that we make allowance for each other's faults. In the original Greek language, this phrase literally means be willing to put up with each other. It's literally what it means. Don't leave the church every time someone says or does something you don't like. Every believer in this room is being transformed day by day into the image of Christ, but we're all getting there at different speeds, and none of us is there yet. We're all at different levels of faith and spiritual maturity. People who are younger in the Lord may still be struggling with issues that other more mature believers have long since been delivered from. I'm reminded of the prison minister who was walking into the prison chapel one day to conduct a service. And on his way into the chapel, he passed some inmates who were leaning against the railing and smoking their cigarettes. The minister walks up to one of the inmates and says, "You know, the Lord is not pleased by you smoking that cigarette." And the inmate replied, "Hey man, give me a break. I just learned how to stop killing people." We need to recognize that we are all at different levels of faith and maturity, and there will inevitably be times when someone irritates us or hurts our feelings. But God wants us to remember that no one is perfect, and that we have to be patient with our brothers and sisters, and even to put up with them, even when they do things that irritate us or annoy us.
Thank you.
And when offenses do occur, and they will, we also need to be willing to forgive others just as Christ forgives us of our many faults and failures. So the third characteristic of a healthy church body is that we practice forgiveness. If a brother or sister does something to offend you, God commands you. It's not a suggestion. It's not a guideline. It's not a rule of thumb. God commands you to forgive that person just as he forgives you. It's not an option. And God is serious about this because he knows how devastating the effects of unforgiveness can be. When we refuse to forgive and when we choose to withhold forgiveness from someone, we think we're hurting them, but we're also hurting ourselves because if left untreated, unforgiveness sets like concrete and hardens into hatred and bitterness. Yes. Withholding forgiveness can be devastating for us personally. It can be devastating for the person that needs to be forgiven, and it can have a detrimental effect on the peace and the harmony of the entire church.
Yeah.
Verse 14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Here again, God is telling us to clothe ourselves with another of the qualities of Christ, love. The fourth characteristic of a healthy church body is that we clothe ourselves with love and make it a part of our being. Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians that everything we do has to be done in love. Without love, anything we say or do is likely to make things worse instead of making things better.
Yes.
It's love that drew us to God in the first place, and it's love that will bind us together now that we're here. Without love, all the spiritual gifts and all the prophecies and all the speaking in tongues and all the singing and shouting don't mean a thing. Brother Jerry sometimes tells the story of a co-worker that he was ministering to when he worked at Marathon Oil. Over a period of time, he very patiently and gently shared with this co-worker the love of Christ, and she was responding to that message of love and was on the verge of accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Later, another Christian, whom she didn't know and who didn't know her, another Christian came up to this woman and just blasted her and told her that she needed to repent or she was going to hell. And in an instant, this man undid everything that Jerry had so gently and patiently tried to do. And from that point on, the walls went up and that lady closed herself off to the gospel and never again showed any interest in coming to the Lord. How many of you know that you can say the right thing in the wrong way?
Yep.
Jerry had spoken to her out of love. The other Christian had spoken to her with condemnation and with an attitude of self-righteousness. What he said might have been right, but it was said in the wrong way and not under the leading of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Everything we say and do must be done in love, or it will result in more harm than good. Verse 15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. The fifth characteristic of a healthy church body is that we let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. Before Jesus was crucified, he told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." God's peace passes all understanding, and he has made that peace available to you and me, but we always have a choice. We can choose to live in peace with our brothers and sisters, or we can choose to let our flesh rise up at the slightest offense, and we can claim our rights, and we can stand up for ourselves, and we can argue over things that really don't even matter. Even if it means leaving a wake of destruction behind us and destroying the peace and harmony of the entire church. In his closing to the book of Philippians, Paul takes a moment to mention this type of situation involving two women who are having a disagreement. Let's leave the book of Colossians for just a moment and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. You might want to keep your finger in Colossians, but let's take a look at Philippians 4, verses 2 and 3 for just a moment. These are the words of Paul. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Now apparently, Euodia and Syntyche were faithful members of the church at Philippi. These two women loved the Lord, and they worked hard in helping Paul spread the gospel. Their faith and their sincerity were not in question. But they apparently were having some sort of a dispute, a disagreement so serious that Paul makes special mention of it at the end of the book of Philippians. The Bible doesn't tell us what this disagreement was about, and I suspect that was intentional, because if we knew what it was about, we would probably be tempted to take sides, and that's exactly what Paul was trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. In fact, I believe that one of the reasons why Paul was pleading with these two ladies to settle their disagreement was because he knew how a disagreement like this could easily get out of hand and could spread and poison an entire church. People would naturally start taking sides, and it would lead to division and conflict and possibly even a church split. The love and peace and perfect harmony that God so badly desires for His church would be tossed out the window and would be replaced by friction and contention. Paul knew full well that when this kind of contention takes hold of a church, that it becomes impossible for us to be good representatives of Jesus Christ. Unbelievers won't look at the church and say, behold how they love one another. They'll look at the church and say, why would I want to be a part of that? Amen. God wants us to live in peace with one another.
Amen.
Now let's return to the book of Colossians chapter 3. And pick up with where we left off in verse 15. The last sentence of this verse says, and always be thankful. The sixth characteristic of a healthy church body is that we are always thankful. Today's scripture text is only six verses long, but within it, Paul mentions thankfulness three times. When God mentions something once, it's important. When God mentions something twice, it's really important. But when God mentions something three times, we should really pay close attention to what He's saying. God knows that conflict and strife cannot take hold in a church where people are thankful. When we come into this place with thankful hearts, when we make a conscious decision to be thankful for our church, thankful for our pastor, and thankful for each other, then conflict and contention will flee, and the peace and harmony that God desires for His church will prevail. But unthankfulness breeds discontent and unhappiness. I don't like this. I don't like that. Nothing ever quite suits me. Nothing is ever quite good enough. I'm always finding fault with something or someone. These attitudes will poison a church and will prevent us from attaining the type of relationship that God wants us to have with one another. And contrary to popular belief, fault finding is not a spiritual gift.
Amen.
Verse 16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. The seventh characteristic of a healthy church body is that we let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives. Well, what is the message about Christ? The message is that Christ came to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, what God has done for us, He wants us to go and do for others. He has shown so much grace to us.
Amen.
And now we are to go and extend that same grace to one another.
Yes.
The eighth characteristic of a healthy church body is that we teach and counsel each other with all God's wisdom. The enemy would have us believe that we don't have anything to offer. But that's a lie. And don't sell yourself short. Everyone in this church body has something to offer.
Amen.
There's always something that we can learn from each other. God has given all of us spiritual gifts, insights, and experiences that we can share with one another to offer encouragement and comfort and, when necessary, correction.
Amen. Oh, praise you, Papa.
Many years ago, in a church I used to go to, there was a man who really loved the Lord. A precious and faithful Christian brother, a man who didn't have a mean bone in his body, and he loved his brothers and sisters in the Lord. But he had a flaw, a blind spot that he was completely unaware of. He loved to hug people. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? That sounds like a good thing. Well, I should mention that this guy was really, really big. He was physically very large and very strong, much larger than I am. And when he would go to hug a man, he would literally wrap his arms around him in a full frontal bear hug, lift him off the floor, and shake him around like a rag doll, and then he would set me down.
That's a big one.
Now, he was a little gentler with the ladies, but not much. They still got the full frontal bear hug. And heaven help you if you were a small woman. You would just get swallowed up in that hug and completely disappear until you could eventually come up for air. And I really don't believe that he was trying to be aggressive with his hugs. He was just a big old teddy bear who loved everyone and had no concept of personal space. Well, as you might imagine, this behavior irritated the men and made the women uncomfortable. So people kind of started to avoid him. When people came through the door for church, they would sort of peek around the corner to see if they could sneak past him and get to their seats without getting noticed. And I think everybody realized that his heart was in the right place. In his mind, he was just trying to express the genuine Christian love that he had for the brethren. I just don't think he realized how physically large and strong he was. So it was a fault, a blind spot that needed correction, because instead of feeling loved and welcomed, people were feeling annoyed and uncomfortable before the service even began. It was inadvertently creating tension in the church body. So after this went on for a while, one of the elders at that church met with the man privately, and the elder lovingly and patiently explained to this man that, as pure as his motives were, that behavior wasn't appropriate and people don't like to be treated that way. And much to this man's credit, he accepted that counsel graciously. He apologized and he changed his behavior. There was no anger. There was no defensiveness. There was no storming out the door. There was no leaving the church. The man acknowledged his fault, apologized for his behavior, and corrected it, and he continued to be a faithful brother in the Lord. And the rest of us found it easy to forgive him because we all knew where his heart was. He just had a blind spot that needed to be addressed. And I'm telling you this story because I believe that it's a perfect example of godly correction in a church. correction given gently and in love, correction received humbly and graciously, and forgiveness that buried the offenses in the past. That's the way it should work. And by the way, I want you to notice that this verse doesn't say it's the pastor's job to do all the teaching and counseling. It says, teach and counsel each other. God wants us to build relationships of love and trust with one another so that we can give and receive godly counsel and wisdom and correction without anger, resentment, or defensiveness. The ninth characteristic of a healthy church body is that we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. You may remember that a couple of weeks ago I preached a sermon called The Battle Belongs to the Lord, and I talked about how King Jehoshaphat went out to face the enemy, not with swords and spears and man's weapons, but he sent forth a choir of people singing and praising God. And as that choir marched toward the enemy armies became so terrified by that praise that they began fighting among themselves and they destroyed themselves. Brothers and sisters, let me remind you that there is power in praise.
Amen.
The psalmist tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we as a unified body begin praising God with one voice and one heart and in one spirit, the enemy will destroy himself.
Yes.
Any spirits of conflict and contention and strife will be driven from the church, and the only spirit left standing will be God's Holy Spirit. And he's the only spirit we want in this church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. The tenth and last characteristic of a healthy church body is that in whatever we do or say, we do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Remember, folks, it's not all about you. Yes, God loves you, but he loves other people too.
Yes. Amen.
And he wants to use each of us as his representatives to bring hope, encouragement, comfort, and sometimes correction to those who need it, both inside the church and outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror, say to yourself, I represent my Lord Jesus, and I want everything I say and do today to bring glory to him. I want to be an example of his love and peace to my brothers and sisters in the church, to my family members, to my friends, to my co-workers, and to the world. If you would, please stand with me. Before I turn the service back over to Brother Jerry, I just want to take a moment to say how proud I am of Turning Point Church. We truly are a family of believers who love one another and who look out for the interests of others before our own. This is a congregation that has always taken seriously its responsibility to represent the Lord Jesus. And by the grace of God and by your obedience, we have managed to avoid a lot of the issues and strife and conflicts that have crippled many other churches. But we have to remain vigilant. Sin is always crouching at the door and looking for an opportunity to pounce.
Amen.
But if we'll just continue to put into practice the things that we've learned today, the enemy will flee from us, he'll take his spirits of friction and discord with him, and this house will be a house of love and peace, a house filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for this church and for the people in it. Thank you for the grace you've shown us over the years, and we pray for your continued grace in our lives. Help us to live by the principles that we talked about today, that this house might be a house of love and peace and harmony. Give us the grace and the desire to represent you, Lord Jesus, within this church family and also in the world.
Yes.
And I pray that when the world looks at Turning Point Church, they will look at us and say, behold how they love one another.
Yes, Lord.
Watch over us all in this upcoming week. And it's in the precious and mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you,
God.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Another wonderful message. June 4th, which is coming up before too long, we will be 29 years old.
Wow.
And I don't believe we would have made it if we'd been in love with one another.
Right on.
Yeah.
And that I used to hear that awful lot about how there was so much love in this church. It's just that's what it's about. It's not the programs. It's living for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm just proud of y'all. Just proud. And if I can be proud and, you know, and be a Christian, I'm proud. And I just thank God that when all this started, he put together a body that's going to remain and go on.
Yes,
and it'll be a place where people can learn and take up the work of the ministry like the Bible says.
Yeah. We're proud of you too, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Next week is Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit next week. And I encourage you just to let him work in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do.
Yes.
Thank you that you have put value in this church.
Yes.
And people of value. Continue to grow us, Lord, and strengthen us, encourage us, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Use us as your witnesses. Lord, that is getting more and more important, that people see that we are disciples by the love we have for one another.
Yes, Jesus.
More and more important every day.
Yes.
And I just want to thank you for this church, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen,
amen.
God bless y'all.